Welcome, folks, to the Andy Social Podcast. My name is Andy Dowling, and first things first, the most important thing, I have to thank you guys. You guys know the drill. Each and every week, I do a shout-out for somebody that supports me, supports either of the Andy Social or Self-Starter podcasts. It could be Lord, and it can be a range of different ways. It could be shooting messages through of encouragement. It could be suggesting guests. It could be buying T-shirts, from Lord or the Andy Social web stores. It could be shouting me a beer via the PayPal button. It could be leaving reviews anywhere on the internet. Anything. It all helps. It all helps me, and I continuously am saying thank you so much. I can never say thank you enough to everybody that supports me. But each and every week, I pick somebody out that supports me in one of those amazing ways, and just my little way of giving back. And when those people listen to my shout outs and shoot me a message, I send them out something really cool in the post. Well, really cool. That's quite subjective. But I find something around the house that's a bit quirky and different and cool, and shoot it out in the mail, because we all like getting something in the mail. So moving along, this week's shout out is for Ben Lacey. Now, this is a bit of an overdue shout out. I should have done this long, long ago, but Ben has been supporting the podcast almost since day dot, and he was one of the first people to ever shout me a beer via the PayPal button over on the andysocial.net page, and I never put him on the list for my shout-out, so I had to go back and think, okay, well, who else is here? So long overdue, but thank you so much, Ben. Ben's from Cincinnati in the US, and I've met Ben a couple of times from the Prog Power Festivals in Atlanta each year, so thank you so much, Ben. I really, really appreciate it, and it's so cool to see you continuously supporting me and being so generous. And you've also been really, really generous, I believe, also when you ordered the Prog Power USA CD via our online store for Lord. You're also very, very generous when you purchased that as well. So thank you very much, and it means a hell of a lot. It does go a long way to keeping all these things that we're passionate about alive and moving. And so, yes, thank you very much. So, please send me a message and I will get something out to the post to you. I've got a bunch of silly things laying around, a bit of fun and some cool things. So we'll get that out to you sometime soon. But thank you very much, Ben. And thank you to everybody else that continues to support me and everything that I'm involved with. Do you like heavy metal? Well, guess what? I play bass in the Australian metal band Lord. And if you love a bit of heavy metal, you can go to lord.net.au and check out our website. We've got video content there. We've got our whole back catalogue, streaming music, merchandise, everything there. It's a great way to get a taste of what we're all about. So if you haven't checked out Lord yet, go over there. It's really, really easy, really simple, and some great resources there. Props to Tim for creating one of the best band websites on the internet, in my biased opinion. Lord.net.au, go and check that out. In addition to playing in a heavy metal band, I also host the Self-Starter Podcast, which is all about small business, self-employment, and freelancing. So if you're starting your own business, or you have your own business, or you're working a job that you hate and you want to get out of there, or you just want to earn a little bit of extra coin on the side, this podcast could be for you. So go to selfstarter.com.au. I have a fortnightly podcast that comes out. I've also got a blog that I'm updating as I go. I've been a little bit slack lately, but it's coming. I'm still trying to create content. But selfstarter.com.au, you can search for Self-Starter on the podcast player that you're listening through right now. If it's not showing up, let me know, because I'm trying to get it everywhere. But thank you so much for the support. It's a bit of a passion project that I've got at the moment, but I've got grand plans for that in the future as well. So appreciate that. Lord.net.au, selfstarter.com.au. Cheers for the support. It's time for a little metal plug. Anybody in Australia that's planning to go, well, not even Australia, I know a few people from New Zealand as well. Cut to the chase, Andy. Anybody that's planning to go to the upcoming Dragonland Australian tour in September, first week of September. Dragonland are a power metal band from Sweden. It's their first ever time in Australia. If you're planning to go, or you've already bought tickets, I have 25 exclusive laminates that are available. They're little VIP passes, and they have the Dragonland artwork on there. They also say Andy Social on there as well, which is really cool. Now, I must say, a big disclaimer, they don't give you any privileged access. They don't have any real value attached to them, but there's only 25 of them. and they look really cool, and nobody else is going to have them. And you can also get these signed by the band. It's just something really, really cool, a little added extra, and something for me to give to you guys as a little thank you for listening to the podcast. So this isn't getting mentioned anywhere else. It's basically, if you're taking the time to listen to me waffle on right now, then you've got an opportunity to snag one of these. Now, if you're interested, now all you need to do is first and foremost buy a ticket for one of the shows on the upcoming tour, which I'll get to in a moment. They're playing in Canberra, Sydney, Brisbane, and Melbourne. You can go to stormridertouring.com.au/tickets and buy tickets there. If you've already got a ticket or you bought a ticket, then what you need to do to grab one of these passes is email Stu from Stormrider Touring by emailing stormriderfestival@live.com.au. Just give him some proof of purchase that you've got the ticket and what show you're going to, and then he will organise, if there's any left by that point, he will organise for one of those laminates to be made available for you. So a reminder, there's only 25 of them. I'm not printing any more. I just think 25 is a nice, sweet little number, and just gives it a little bit of an exclusive feel to it. It's just a bit of fun, and they look really cool. I've got a picture of them, but I'm not going to post them anywhere. I'll wait until this offer is over, and then I'll post it everywhere and just show people. But it's just my little thank you for you folks that are listening to the podcast, and I'll continuously find cool things in the future, things that might have monetary value as well. But whatever it is, something exclusive for you guys, just to say thank you for supporting the tour. If you're curious as to when Dragonland are touring, I probably should get to the most important bits of information for this tour. Dragonland are going to be here from the 4th to the 8th of September. On Tuesday the 4th of September, they're going to be doing a meet and greet at Utopia Records in Sydney, Tuesday afternoon. And the following day, from the 5th to the 8th, they are going to be doing their shows. The 5th is at The Basement in Canberra, the 6th at the Bullface Stag in Sydney, the 7th at Crowbar in Brisbane, and the 8th is at the Croxton Band Room in Melbourne. And you can get all the information, including all the support bands, all the ticket information, by going to stormridertouring.com.au/tickets. And as I said before, if you want to grab one of these 25 passes, email Stu McGill over at stormriderfestival@live.com.au with all the details, and hopefully there'll be one left for you. This week's episode is with Jonas Heidgert. Jonas is the frontman, singer of Dragonland, as well as Destiny, and an Iron Maiden cover band called Made in Iron. And I think there's a few other projects and bands that he's involved with or semi-involved with. I can never remember them all, but he's done a lot of guest appearances. He's an amazing singer and frontman, and just a really, really cool guy. And there's a bit of history here, folks, for anyone playing along. The first time that Dragonland ever went to Japan was the first time that Dungeon ever went to Japan. I think that was 2002 or 2003, can't remember off the top of my head, but for any of you old school Lord or Dungeon fans that have the Under the Rising Sun live DVD, that show, that is the tour that Dungeon and Dragonland, as well as a bunch of other bands, were playing. So there's history there. There's a connection, and Tim and the guys from that era of the band have kept in contact with Dragonland. There's just some great friendships that were formed then, and I hadn't met the guys until 2015. I actually went over to the US for the Prog Power Festival the year before Lord played in Atlanta. And I thought, stuff it, I'm going to go up and have a chat to them and introduce myself. You know, there's a bit of a mutual connection there. And some of the coolest dudes I've ever met, like really, really cool guys. And I've stayed in contact with them since, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing them again on their upcoming tour, first week of September. You guys know I've been plugging this, so make sure you go over to stormridertouring.com.au/tickets and grab your tickets for the upcoming Dragonland tour. And they're playing, I'll just quickly run through those dates again, the 5th of September in Canberra, the 6th in Sydney, the 7th in Brisbane, the 8th in Melbourne. I've mentioned all the ticket information before, but once again, plug, plug, plug. Always good to plug good things. But this chat's really cool. We had the time zone thing. We were doing it over Facebook call. There's a couple of little lags and delays here and there. I've cleaned it up a little bit, so it sounds a little bit, it flows a bit better now. But just cool to catch up with him and talk. And we just talked about anything and everything. We just talked about music. We got on a bit of a Dream Theater kick at one point. We spoke about our love of Iron Maiden. I think I've repeated a story that you guys have probably heard a million times already, but I did that again. And just really cool stuff. And just good to hear a bit of an insight of how he approaches music and how Dragonland works as a band. And it's just, it's very different and very different to what I thought as well. So a really cool chat, a great way to learn a bit more about Dragonland. Please, if you're going to the tour in September, please reach out to him, go and buy him a beer, go and buy the guys a beer, say hello, make sure you tell him that you heard him on the podcast. And once again, stormridertouring.com.au/tickets. You can get tickets for Canberra, Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne. And there's an in-store appearance at Utopia Records in Sydney on the 4th of September as well. So lots of information there. But enough crapping on from me. Please enjoy this really, really cool chat with Jonas Heidgert of Dragonland.
Well, first of all, we're probably one of the laziest bands in the world.
Okay.
Everyone has like families and day jobs and that kind of stuff. So we've said like if we get cool opportunities and really cool gigs, we take them, but we don't like hunt them per se.
Hmm.
So if we get a good request from someone like from Australia or Japan, for instance, of course we take it. But since everyone has a lot of other stuff on the side, we don't do that much actually.
And I've seen like from our band especially in the last few years, we don't play as much anymore. We don't tour very often. We might only play a couple of shows a year at the very most. And there's been a whole range of different reasons. Very similar to you guys. We are lazy, but we've also got a lot of other things in life. We've got, you know, other projects, other things that we're involved with, family and lots of other commitments. And we've had to change quite a bit over the years and balance life out a little bit more. And from what you said, it sounds similar. But one challenge that we face, and I'm sure that you guys have the same sort of challenge, and I'd be interested to hear how you guys approach it, but how do you get back up into the swing of things when it's been so long between getting together and playing and creating music? Because when we've got a couple of shows later this year, just two in Australia, and we've got to dust off the cobwebs. We've got to grease up everything and see if we can play our instruments again. And it's really hard. And I know that some of the guys in the band, like everybody does music on the side, but how do you guys get back together and like, how do you rehearse? How do you communicate with each other? Is it a bit of a hard thing to try and coordinate everybody?
Well, not really, actually, since most of the band members live nearby each other. So it's just our drummer guy who lives in Madrid. So what we do, we've been doing this the last few times, Prog Power, and we had a gig down in Switzerland 2 years ago, I think. So what we do, we just practice by ourselves at home, and then we get down to Elias's place, our keyboard player. And then the band rehearses to the demo backing tracks for the drums.
Mm.
We just rehearse in one of his, in his man cave, sort of. Mm. And then a couple of days before we leave, we fly up Joe here to Gothenburg, and then we rehearse for 2 days and do it hard. And it's been working out very, very, very well the times we did like this.
So you got a bit of a process.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I think when, like, for, I'm sure for your tour that's coming up with playing a couple of shows in Japan and then doing some shows back to back in Australia, it will help because you're playing a lot of consecutive shows in a row. So you can gel in and get the chemistry going again and really sort of get tight with your playing and performance on stage. And obviously the rehearsal helps, but you never really feel it until you're on stage playing in front of people and getting back into the swing of things again. But like when we last saw each other and you were, you guys were playing Prog Power, and I mean, that would have been, I'm just assuming that would have been a little bit harder because you're coming over more or less for one show, which ended up being a couple of shows. But is it a little bit harder to try and muster up all that energy and all the like all the preparation for what is seen to be one show?
Well, when it's a show of that kind of magnitude, it wasn't any question about it. It was something everybody wanted to do.
Mm.
I think it's because we play so rarely. So when we get a good gig, we enjoy it so much, and it's always fun to meet up with other guys again.
Yeah.
So I think we've handled this pretty well.
Yeah, I think the hardest thing that I've always found, and we had it with Prog Power as well, because we came over for literally one show, and there's a lot of rehearsals and a lot of getting together and working everything out in our set and all of that. But I think maybe we overthink it too much, and we're excited and we're really happy to be playing, and it's such a really important show to play. But there's a lot of pressure there, and you think, oh man, I hope I don't. Like, I'm a bit rusty here, and I have been rehearsing, but, you know, we're going to be playing in front of a lot of people, and we were filming it as well, which is even worse. And you want to make sure that you're bringing your A game and you're playing as best as you can. And, you hope that, you know, you don't stuff up or anything like that. And so it's, I know other people that sort of do a bunch of shows leading up to the main one. So they've got the momentum going and they're feeling good and in the groove of everything. And then when they get to the really big important show, then they're well and truly, you know, firing on all cylinders. But when you do those one-off big shows, it's there's a different type of pressure involved, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we never had like this long run of shows, consecutive shows before. So this is actually the longest tour thing we've ever done. So this will be our first try. I think our record is like we played one year. I don't remember which year it was. Like we played four gigs at one year, and it was like a band record.
Wow!
So this is gonna be. So this year's gonna be a total show count of seven.
There you go.
So we're gonna break a new record.
Was it always the case when the band was, and I don't, and you'll have to forgive me because there's probably a lot of information out there that explains this, but was it always the case that when the band was created, that it was always going to be a band that was more of a studio band rather than a live band? Like you wouldn't play very often, or was it just something that after the fact that you started to realize, oh, we actually can't play a lot because of everything else that's going on in life?
Well, we've never been really a live or studio band, actually. We didn't decide anything. We just do whatever we like to do, actually.
Hmm.
But, yeah, sure, what it looks like is we look like a studio band, more or less, since we play so few live shows. But personally, I'd like to play much more than we do, actually. But at the same time, there's very few possibilities to do so. So we're taking the chances we get and enjoy it when we can.
Yeah. And I guess with, you know, people having families and work, but, you know, a lot of the guys, I don't know, I'm pretty sure everybody in the band has got other bands that they're involved with. And some of them tour quite extensively throughout the year as well. So just trying to pin down some of the guys in the band would be difficult just for a couple of shows here and there. So I think there'd be a lot of challenges. And I think it'd be really difficult to try and do more than a couple of shows per year.
Yeah, it is. Since everyone has other projects or bands or work and family and that kind of stuff. So it has to be kind of big stuff for us to make it happen.
Yeah,
and we get much more requests than we unfortunately have to reject.
And you've had
different reasons.
Yeah, of course. And I think there's been a couple of occasions that you've had a couple of people come in to fill in or just to replace temporarily for a show here and there.
Well, no, not really, actually. Yeah, the latest one was, of course, Joe, who took over the live drumming think Frog Power was his first one with us, or did I don't really remember. I think it was his first one, and he's that good, so we decided to keep him.
And Joe's coming down as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Oh, fantastic.
We'll fly him up to Gothenburg for rehearsals 2 days before we leave.
Cool. Very cool. I must ask, and I was going to mention it before, but I forgot, but are you a little bit worried or scared about coming to Australia when there's a lot of, there's a lot of conspiracies around Australia not existing at all?
Yeah, I saw this meme about it, and I got a little worried, actually. Is this going to happen at all? So I told Stu that, what's this? what are you trying to pull? Is this true?
We're all actors down here. It doesn't. The place, the country doesn't exist. Be prepared. Yeah. No, I've seen quite a bit of that. I think it's the guys, the flat Earth people that have started that. So I don't know. It's there's some crazy people. We do have crazy people here, but as far as I'm aware, unless I'm the only person that doesn't know, I'm pretty sure this country is real. But don't hold me to it. I think you'll just have to wait until you get here and work that out for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we'll see then.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. Hey, I had another question for you. You've got an Iron Maiden cover band that you sing in.
Yeah.
Called Maiden Iron.
Yeah, correct.
It's awesome. One question I wanted to have, a couple of questions actually, but one thing that I was really curious about is there a particular era of Maiden that you guys cover, or do you do the entire lot?
We mostly cover from 82 up till 92, I think, mostly, but we have a few songs that are newer and a few that are older as well. We just... If somebody says, "Oh, can't we play this one?" and everyone says, "Like, okay," so we're extending the catalog all the time. But since I joined, I've input some of my favorite songs.
And okay, so I must ask, what are your favorite Maiden songs?
Basically, the whole Seventh Son of a Seventh Son album.
that's a good album.
It was my first Maiden album that I got the cassette tape from my mom after nagging her about it for 6 months when I was about, I think I was about 9 or 10 or something like that. So I went to the record store after school every day listening to The Clairvoyant on an LP. And I recorded, I think it was the video on from MTV. I recorded it on VHS as well. So I got a little obsessed with that album.
So there's now a few songs from Seventh Son in the set.
Almost all of them. We don't still haven't tried out Seventh Son of a Seventh Son itself and The Prophecy, but all the other songs are in the catalog.
I was going to ask if there was any obscure or deep cuts in the set list, any particular obscure songs. But if you're playing the majority of Seventh Son, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, really fun songs to cover as well.
Oh yeah. I haven't done that many Iron Maiden songs over the years, but the ones I remember years and years ago, we did an in-store live set at a record store in Sydney years and years ago for it was the A Matter of Life and Death album launch for Maiden. They were releasing the album, and so they got us to come in and do an Iron Maiden set. And we got whoever rocked up, we got them on stage to do karaoke and they could sing the songs, which was pretty horrendous. It was horrible. But we played a bunch of, I think we did Stranger in a Strange Land. And some, my favorite album, Somewhere in Time. And so we played a few songs off that. And it was a couple of obscure songs, but they're just one of those bands that it just gets everybody excited straight away. And I'm sure when you guys are playing, you know, the cover shows for Maiden, that it just gets the crowd instantly energized and enthusiastic about the show.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate with the shows we've been doing so far. And it's easy to play covers because people know that, okay, they're going to play Maiden songs. So basically, there's only Maiden fans coming.
That's it.
So it's very easy to play covers and get the crowd riled up.
That's it. And they're very passionate as well, Maiden fans.
Yeah. they are.
When you mentioned before about getting the cassette for Seventh Son and nagging your mum, it made me mm-hmm. think about the first time that I ever discovered Iron Maiden. And that was, there was two things that happened and I didn't quite put them together because I didn't really know the band. I got excited about the artwork, which I think a lot of people were similar to me. You see the artwork first and think, wow, this is amazing. I wonder what the music sounds like. And the music sort of was the secondary thing. But I remember finding a double cassette at a charity shop. It was a secondhand cassette and it was the double cassette for Live After Death. And I just, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever found. And I think it was for about $1. It was so cheap. They were just trying to throw it away. And I just thought, I'm going to get this. And I remember playing it and not understanding what I was listening to. I couldn't get my head around. I'd never heard anything like it. So it took me a little bit to try and understand and like really sort of absorb the music. But then not too long after that, I was watching a music show, and we've got a music show here in Australia called Rage, and I think it's still on TV, but it was really, really popular in the 80s and the 90s, and it was late at night, and they just play video clips all night for about 3 or 4 hours, and I used to tape it, and then in the next morning on VHS, I'd put the tape in, and I'd sit there on Sunday morning and watch these videos and try and work out what band is what and try and learn songs, and they put Fear of the Dark, Live at Donington, one of the video clips. And I remember sitting there just looking at it and having this surreal moment where I just looked and went, I knew I had the cassette, but, and it was a different era of the band then, but I couldn't understand what I was looking at and what I was listening to. I'd never seen anything like it. And that song as well is so iconic, and there's so much energy, and when he's getting the crowd to sing along as well, and that massive, massive crowd at Donington. And I just went, I had goosebumps, I had the chills, and I just went, oh, I think I like this.
Yeah.
And then I think life changed after that. I think suddenly I became a metal fan. It was just, it was incredible.
Yeah, that single song is the one that makes the audience go bananas.
Yeah.
When you play it. So we actually talked about putting it earlier in the set, since now we play it like a little after mid-set. But if you launch it earlier, then you get the crowd going. So
that's it. Get them
much earlier.
Get them warmed up.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time Iron Maiden tours Europe, and I always just watch online and just see like all the photos that they post. And I know that they've just done a run through Europe just recently, whenever I see photos of them playing in Sweden, it seems that the crowd in Sweden is like twice or three times the size of any other crowd anywhere else in Europe. For whatever reason, it just seems like Sweden are just so obsessed about Iron Maiden. It just seems they seem to be so much more popular there. And I don't know if that's really the case, but
I think they are. This is a very, very big Maiden country, and also it's not only Swedes in the Maiden shows here. We got people from England and Norway, and Denmark, and Finland flying in to. We have a lot of dedicated European fans who follow them around on tour.
Yeah.
So I know this guy. I think he has seen Maiden 13 times on this tour.
Oh.
So they spend the entire vacation and all their money just to see Maiden.
Wow.
I've seen them 2 times.
I've seen them when they first came to Australia. Well, sorry, not the first time, but the first 2008, they came back, and it was that Somewhere in Time tour where they, or Somewhere Back in Time tour, and they had the first jet, the Iron Maiden plane.
Yeah.
And they came to Australia.
Air Force One.
Yeah, that's the one. And It was the first time they'd come here since 1991 or 1992 or something like that. So it'd been a very long time. And I was so excited.
17 years.
Yeah. And so a friend and myself, we bought tickets for, I think they were doing six shows in total in Australia. And we bought tickets to five of them. And so we spent a week going, I think it was Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. And there's two Melbourne shows, two Sydney shows and a Brisbane show. And it was pretty much the best week of my life. It was incredible. And we were like, when you see, pop stars like a Justin Bieber or something like that on stage and you get all the young girls in the audience and they're screaming and carrying on and crying. I felt like I was one of those girls. There was one moment where we were standing in front of the stage and Adrian Smith's on stage and he's playing and he looks out at us and he probably didn't even look at us because there was that many people there, but he sort of looked in our direction and we thought he was looking at us and he sort of winked and we started screaming like we were just teenage girls. We're just like, oh my God, Adrian winked at us all. And we were almost in tears because it's just the most amazing moment. We just never, I guess because we missed that last tour in the early 90s when they came out. It got to a point where you just thought, oh, they'll probably never come back here again. And so when they decided to come back, it was like, we have to go because they may never come back again, or it might be that long before the next time they come back out. And it was just the energy was absolutely incredible. And so we were lucky to see them. And so I saw them five times on that first tour. They came back again and I saw them, twice more. And then I got to see them once in somewhere in the Netherlands. And it was on the early days tour for the first year of the band, first or the second year of the band, or whatever they did. And it was just before the Ed Force One sort of tour, or Maiden 666 tour, or whatever it was that they did. It's been 2005, and I saw them play, and they opened up with Where Eagles Dare. And I just remember just like, just squealing. just screaming and just, I think all the Dutch people around me were just looking at me going, what on earth are you on about? Cause I was in a fit of excitement. It was absolutely incredible.
Cool. I've seen them about 15 times total. And I remember when I was, I think it was 2000, maybe 2008, when they did, I don't know the name of the tour, but maybe it was the Somewhere Back in Time tour thingy, when they started playing Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Mm.
And I absolutely just burst into tears. And my girlfriend at the time was just looking at me and like, what the fuck are you doing? nothing at all.
I love it.
It was fantastic. I've always wanted to see this one live, and this was the first time they played it on a tour that I was seeing.
Wow. It's
of course we play that one now as well.
Yeah. Oh man, and it would have been such a surreal moment to stand there and then suddenly like they just kick into that song and it's like, oh wow, just this.
Yeah,
the energy would be incredible. And have you seen the Flight 666 movie, the documentary that they did?
I haven't actually. Oh, okay. I've been meaning to do so for so long, but it just never happened. But I would.
Well, there's one point in that documentary, and when you watch it, you'll realize what it is. But bursting into tears watching Rime of the Ancient Mariner, there's one section where they're playing. Oh, it might be somewhere. It's somewhere in South America, maybe like Colombia or something like that. And they right at the end of the concert, when they're finished up, and the crowd's like slowly moving away, there's one guy who's leaning on the front barrier, and he's got Nico's drumstick in his hand, and he is sobbing. He's crying so much. And I challenge anybody out there who watches this not to get a tear in their eye, because it is almost impossible. You look at him, you go, I know what you're feeling. It's such an emotional moment. This guy's just, you can just tell he is so happy, but so overly emotional. He's just got tears running down his cheek and he's got this drumstick and he's just like, yes.
Very cool. I'm a pretty emotional guy myself. I have a few bands who can actually move me to at the point of tears. It's the same if you look at any live version of what's the name? A Dream Theater song from Metropolis Part 2.
Oh yeah, yep.
The slow one. That one. I think there's a live version on from Wacken, I think. And you see several people just singing along with tears streaming down their faces.
I haven't heard that album in so long. I'm thinking of the ballad. Is it in the middle of the album? I think it's like Through Her Eyes or something like that. There's that one.
No.
And I think the last song's Finally Free as well, which is cool.
Maybe it's Finally Free. No, not Finally Free. Let's see if I have the album here somewhere. What a mess. What's this? Nope. Wait, there's a live thingy. I think it's here. Maybe it's The Dance of Eternity.
Oh, okay, cool.
No,
that's the instrumental, I think.
Well, wait.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've listened to Dream Theater.
I listen to them all the time. It's one of my favorite bands. Change of Seasons. Systematic Chaos. Oh, where is it? Oh, never mind. It's the one where the chorus goes like, "If I die tomorrow, I'd be all right because I believe." Oh, The Spirit Carries On.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, of course. Oh, I forgot all about that song. Yeah, okay, I can understand that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think I've got the DVD of the live scenes in New York. Show.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really cool. That's really cool. And then the extra stuff where they do A Change of Seasons and some of the tracks off Awake as well. And it's just like, I'm a big fan of, actually, one of my favorite Dream Theater albums, and you know, there's a few people out there that like it, Falling Into Affinity.
Yeah. It took me several years before I started appreciating it, actually, but now it's one of the better ones.
Yeah,
For me as well. But first time I've only my first Dream Theater album I bought was Change of Seasons, and then the most Images and Words, and then Awake, and then I bought Falling, and was like, "What the hell is this?"
It's very different.
The same band. Yeah, so it took several years to start appreciating that album actually.
Yeah, very very similar to me, because I started off with Images and Words, and then I think I went to Change of Seasons and Awake after that. So very similar to how you approached it as well. And the first couple of tracks off Falling Into Affinity, where you sort of go, it sounds a little bit alternative, like the riffs are a little bit sort of, I don't know, just a bit bit metally, but just, I don't know, there was just something about it where it was just a completely different atmosphere that they were creating around it. But when you dig in deeper into that album, it's just absolutely incredible. And that the instrumental Hell's Kitchen is like, oh, like just...
Yes.
You
And Trail of Tears as well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And just goosebumps, like your hair, like your hair's going stand up, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
it's amazing. I just
got goosebumps right now just talking about it.
Now I'm gonna have to listen to Dream Theater after we finish talking. I'm feeling inspired. It's been a long, long time since I've listened to them, and I think I don't know if it's the same for you, but because there's just so much music, and it's not even new music. I mean, new music's a challenge in itself because you just can't keep up with what's being released all the time. But even just to try and discover all the old bands that you just never got a chance to listen to, you're constantly finding stuff going, I can't believe I never listened to this band or this song or this album. And I'm constantly listening to new things, well, new in my world, that all the things that I grew up with, I don't go back to. And then eventually something happens, like a conversation like this, or I'm out somewhere else and I hear, you know, a song playing somewhere and I go, oh my God. And you just get thrown back 15, 20 years back. And then suddenly you're having this nostalgic moment where you just remember all these great memories. And it's quite an overwhelming feeling.
Yeah. I've been through a period of that just recently, since I didn't really listen very much to music for several years, for no reason at all, actually. And then at work, somebody started to playing some Iron Maiden, and suddenly I started listening to Iron Maiden. And then I thought, okay, what more did I listen to when I was a kid? Ah, old Helloween. And then I went back to Dream Theater and old school Gothenburg death metal. So I'm in the middle of a nostalgic trip.
And I know you said that you don't really, there's no reason why you stopped listening to music, but I am curious because I've gone through periods where I just don't listen to, I don't listen to anything. I've got piles of CDs. I've got music everywhere. I'm surrounded by it, but I never, like, I just, for whatever reason, I've just tuned out, and it can be for a long period of time where I just don't listen to anything. Do you think that, I mean, from your experience, was it just because you got a little bit exhausted by it, or was it just that you got busy with other things in life? What do you think that it may have been?
For me, it was when we got our first kid.
Mm, okay, that makes sense.
I got so occupied by juggling kid work and everything around. So I guess I just prioritized, and the music had to go.
Mm. Was that a hard thing to adjust to? I mean, not having a kid, because obviously the kid automatically just cancels everything out. It's the most important thing. But was it a challenging time just to sort of work out, I guess? I mean, for me, maybe I'm just filling in the blanks here, but I've had challenges along the way, because when more important things come into life, I struggle with, I guess, what I see myself as, because, you know, I always have seen myself as a musician, a guy that plays in a band and plays music. And then when life, you know, catches up with you and you have these moments, these big important moments in your life, that suddenly you're not the musician anymore. And that's always been a struggle, but I have not been a father. So that's a different thing altogether. But did you ever have any challenges with, I guess, the identity of being a musician, or is it just, and this is what it is, and you just keep moving forward?
I've never actually seen myself as a musician. For me, it's always been a fun hobby. Mm. And to be blessed to do this kind of cool stuff. But no, I've never seen myself as a real musician. Of course, on stage, when you get the adrenaline rush, you feel like a superhero, of course, but other than that, it's, for me, it's fun to do. It's a hobby.
And I mean, when you first started playing in bands and playing with other people, I guess that's where it all began. Like it was the love of just playing with other people and creating music that, and then it sort of opportunities came from that. And then suddenly you're in a position where you're doing shows and you're playing in front of people, and then you get to go to a different country and play a show, and then you start playing with different bands. And I'm assuming it's just been a natural thing that these opportunities have just come up because you've just been doing something you enjoy doing.
Yeah, I think so. Like the optimism of it makes cool stuff possible, I guess.
And was that a similar thing with, because I think are you still in Destiny as well?
Yeah, we're playing on this Friday in Germany, actually, on Headbangers Open Air.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm in the middle of practicing lyrics.
We're starting
rehearsals on Monday.
Ah, cool. Have you played Headbangers Open Air before?
Nope. First time.
Yeah, we played there, a few years ago, not too long ago, maybe about 5 years ago. And you might be a bit more used to it with metal festivals in Europe, but I think it's someone's property, it's someone's farm, and they've got a stage out the back, and it's pretty cool. Like they get a couple of thousand people that go there, and it's a great setup, but it's very, very different to your big, massive metal festivals over there. But it's really well run. And it's very, they're just very passionate, the people that go there. They're like, and I guess maybe that's it. I don't know if it's a German thing or if it's a European thing, but it's like just so passionate about metal, but really, really, really knowledgeable. And I was absolutely blown away. And we had a great time playing there. So I no doubt you guys will have a good time there as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff. It's a kind of a small festival, so it's not that enormously big with the big crowds and that kind of stuff. But as you said, very passionate and very, very faithful audience. They come back year after year after year.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have a festival here in Sweden that's also a really, really small one, but very cool place that we played 2 years ago, I think. It was also a very fun experience.
And a similar sort of thing where it's the same people keep coming back year after year. Yeah, that's cool. With Destiny, I don't know a lot about the band, so you'll have to educate me a little bit. But from what I could see, this band's been around for a long time. But you've joined in the last sort of 5 or 6 years with the band. But the band's been around for a long time, like since the early 80s.
Yeah, 82.
Yeah.
So the bass player started up at 82. And he's the only member who's been with the band the entire time.
And
I think released about 5 albums or something. I'm actually not sure because... Yeah, we have our set list, and I'm adding a couple of songs now for this show. Actually, I don't know that much about him either.
And was it? I mean, how did you get approached? Sorry, I'm trying to spit this out. But was it just knowing similar people, or how did you approach them? I mean, yeah, how did that all work?
Well, it was actually Stefan, the bass player, who approached me 2011, I think, the first time. But then we were just in the middle of releasing Under the Grey Banner with Dragonland. So I declined that time. And after the release, we didn't do that much with Dragonland. So I think it was early 2013 he contacted me again, or late 12. And asked if it was a better time, and at the moment I didn't have anything to do, so I said, okay, let's try it out. So I recorded some some vocals for the anniversary album, that's been released. I think it was released last year, and he liked it, and I think thought it was kind of fun, so I decided to stick with it.
And that'll definitely fill in some time between, with Dragonland not doing a great deal each year from playing shows and everything else. So I guess for you, it's another outlet for you to be able to play with people and get on stage and do some shows.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's the most enjoyable thing about doing music on my part. It's playing live shows.
And the balance between them all, I mean, having Made in Iron, having Dragonland, having Destiny. Is there anything else that you're doing as well from a music point of view, or are they the three main things that you're involved with?
I've done some guest vocals for different acts every now and then, and I still get a lot of requests, but this year's been a hectic on my part. At the end of this year, I've been doing about 30 shows with the 4 different bands I'm in. So, yeah, now from time to time, I think I'm a little in over my head. but still, it's fun. So I'm trying to juggle as good as I can. And so far this year, everything's been clicking fine.
Before now in September, there's a couple of months. So you've got the couple of shows in Tokyo before you come to Australia. But what else is happening leading up? What's the timeline of events now? So you've got... You got the Destiny show at Headbangers Open Air, but what else is happening?
Yep. Then we have 2 shows with Made in Iron in London at Carts and Horses, if you've heard of that place.
Was that one of the early Maiden pubs?
Yeah, it's where Iron Maiden was born, to speak. So the birthplace of Iron Maiden.
Wow.
So we have we were supposed to play 1 show as an after party. After Maiden's final gig of the tour on O2 Arena. But their show sold out, so they extended and put on another show as well. So we're playing 2 after shows on the 10th and 11th of August, I think it is. Yeah.
Wow. That'll be cool. That's going to be electric after those 2 massive shows and the last ones of the tour.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's going to be awesome.
I need to find some money.
Very happy that we got those two gigs. There's a lot of bands who want to play at that little pub, actually.
Mm.
But we got two gigs in a row.
Wow.
It's going to be really cool. After that, it's Tokyo, and then it's Down Under.
Sounds good. Though, I have to really sort of just take a moment to think about these two shows in London.
Yeah.
This would be a bucket list moment for you personally, but for everyone in that band to be able to play such a historic, like iconic place, like for metal, but for Iron Maiden as well.
Yeah, and just to go to that place is cool, and just imagine to play there. It's going to be fantastic.
And you don't have to go into detail, but like just to get an understanding, how on earth did you guys get those shows? Is it something through like one of the Maiden fan clubs? Is there some sort of like underground Iron Maiden cover booking agents that just like scoop up bands and put you in places? Like how on earth does this work?
Well, with these two shows, we actually just sent a mail to the owner and showed him a few live clips and that kind of stuff. And he seemed to like it enough to let us play there.
That's cool. That's
really cool and very lucky.
And you will have, especially if they're the last shows of that particular tour, you're going to have people mm-hmm. from all over the world stopping in there for an after show beer, and they're going to be pumped up from seeing Maiden play. I couldn't think of a better set of circumstances for you guys. That's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
I need to fly over. I need to find some money.
Yeah.
Somebody, I might have to ask the wife, can I use the credit card? I need to. That sounds like
One of the fun things is one of my friends over from the States is going to see Maiden. I think maybe you know of him too, Carl Fredrik.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, he's going to be there.
So he's going to be there. So I told him that we're playing. So he's like, "Oh my god!" So he's gonna come for the after party as well.
Come, Carl. Awesome. Oh,
yes.
That'll be cool. Good on him. That's awesome. Oh man,
he's a cool guy.
Well, I think that's a pretty cool place to end off. You've got some pretty cool shows before we meet, but enjoy the next few weeks and take care and safe travels as you slowly creep your way south. And I'm looking forward to having a beer, and I'll find a few little surprises for you and the rest of the guys as well when you get here.
Did you say two beers?
I can do better than two beers. Trust me. Hey, if you only want two, then that's okay. I'll respect you. But if you want a couple of more, then that's fine. I can work that out as well. I'm sure we can arrange
that. That's all from that.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you, everybody. If you want to reach out to Jonas or learn more about Dragonland, you can, well, let's just make it easy. Just go to the show notes over at andysocial.net. If you're in Australia or you are willing to travel to Australia to see Dragonland's first ever Australian tour, which is happening in the first week of September, you can get tickets through stormridertouring.com.au/tickets. They are playing from Wednesday the 5th of September to the 8th of September, the 5th in Canberra, the 6th in Sydney, the 7th in Brisbane, the 8th in Melbourne, and they're also, the day before the tour, they're doing an in-store at Utopia Records on the 4th. Mentioned before in the episode, there are 25 laminates for Andysocial listeners, exclusive laminates for the tour, so if you've bought a ticket or you plan to buy a ticket, contact Stu from Stormrider Touring by emailing stormriderfestival@live.com.au and show Stu your proof of purchase and the show that you're going to. And if there's any left, Stu will hook you up with one of these exclusive passes, only 25 of them. So they don't give you any extra privilege, as I mentioned before, but it's just a cool little memento. So you guys know the drill. I've already gone through it anyway. So stormridertouring.com.au/tickets to grab tickets. Please go and, as Jonas mentioned, go and get him a beer and say hello and make him feel welcome. Make the whole band feel welcome. And I'm looking forward to seeing those guys very shortly. Before we wrap it up, as always, actually a couple of Lord dates need to make mention of. Saturday, September 22nd at Max Watts in Melbourne, we're headlining the Metal United Down Under Festival with an amazing lineup. You can get tickets for that via lord.net.au, andysocial.net, or you can go to MoshTix or OzTix as well, and you'll get all the ticket information, including the full lineup of bands as well. There's some incredible bands that we're playing with. We're also playing Saturday, November 3rd. Come on, Andy. Saturday, November 3rd, day two of the Steel Assassins Festival at the Ballface Stag. Day one is being headlined by Hobbs Angel of Death, Peter Hobbs, who's been on the podcast not too long ago, so you can go and check that out if you haven't already. And same deal, MoshTix are selling tickets for day one and day two separately or together. I recommend the double pass. Or you can go to lord.net.au or andysocial.net, click on the shows tab and the ticket information's there. But if you get lost, let me know and I'll direct you. I'm harping on about it quite a bit, but if you can buy tickets in advance, including the Dragonland Tour, please buy tickets in advance because it does amazing things. Don't think about it as to whether the show's going to sell out or not, because if you buy tickets in advance, you're securing money, you're legitimizing the event, you're giving confidence to the venue, to the promoter, to the ticketing agency, to the general public. You're also ensuring that bands are looked after as well. There's some upfront guarantees. It also helps people fund these events a little bit better as well. It ensures that little additional 1% extras are invested for the night as well, because there's a bit more confidence from a financial point of view that we're going to get the numbers and we're going to get the turnouts and all that. So look at it from a different angle. And I'll tell you what, even from a personal point of view, I'd much rather buy a ticket in advance and not have to worry about paying for a ticket at the door. And just, if I'm going to spend any money, it's going to be at the bar or at the merch table. And that's pretty much it. So think about that. Lord.net.au, andysocial.net, MoshTix, OzTix, and of course, stormridertouring.com.au/tickets as well. Go and support the scene. All right, folks, before we wrap it up, as always, you know how to support this podcast and me, whether it be through Lord, through Self-Starter, liking, sharing, all the social media love, leaving reviews everywhere, buying merchandise, spreading the word, giving me guest suggestions. All that stuff goes a hell of a long way. It means a lot to me. And I am trying ever so slowly to repay you all with little shout outs along the way and sending little goodies out in the post as well. So thank you, as always, for the ongoing support. It means a hell of a lot to me. And that is it. Another podcast in the bag, another great episode, and just really appreciate your support and feedback and encouragement. Blah, 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 yeah, you know. Anyway, enough of me. Until next week, folks, take care. Ta-ta. Larry. Larry, please.